Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Lisa Gray.
All five.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. And that's right, folks. It is the return of Nerd Up. We finally have enough news, at least from video games, that I felt like we should do a show. And also, I haven't talked to Dalton or Asa in a very long time, and I've missed them both.
It was it was funny because I think Hunter said on PWU last week, yeah, and I think Jesse's bringing Nerd Up back next week. And I was like, oh, this is news to me. I guess I'll be on.
Yeah, because I wanted to do it, and like, yeah, I kept meaning to like talk to you guys about it beforehand, and then like I kept forgetting about it. So this morning I'm just like, oh right, Nerd Up tonight. I'm gonna message Dalton and Asa real quick, make sure they're good for it.
But yeah, I moved my schedule around a little bit. I'm happy to be back.
Happy to have you back, because you weren't even here the last few weeks we were doing it.
Yeah, man, life was kicking me in the nads, and then like everybody's life was like, hey, let's match up.
yeah, a matchup. Life kicked a lot of people a lot harder in the nads.
That's true. Yeah. All right. Everybody's off his life said, "Hold my beer." There is that better.
Yeah. COVID said, "Hold my beer."
Yeah. There it is.
I got this. I'm gonna make this way worse for everybody. So yeah, that's kind of what we've been experiencing now, and that's also just completely demolished like everything that we talk about on this show.
Yeah, because like, comics stopped. Like, no movies are coming out. No movies are being made.
Yep. Same thing with video games. Like, a lot of video games are still in development being worked on, because fortunately that's something that people can do from home.
But, to an extent, yeah.
Yeah, to an extent. But so that's still just, like, news is far, few and far between. But we got the Xbox Series X gameplay showcase. We got the new Mortal Kombat information. Like, we actually did get some pretty good stuff out of here. So, yeah, look forward to that Ace's Mortal Kombat Minute coming at you at the end of the show.
I just read that and I got really excited. I was like, yes, it's back.
it is back. It has returned. For now, Twister released 24 years ago this last week. Guys, I just put this in here to emphasize how slow the news has been in movies. That was actually on four different websites I read. That was an article.
I found something for you that I'm surprised you didn't already have on there. I put it in the Discord chat. So when you take a look at that, because that feels substantial.
That it certainly could be. We'll look at it here. So anyway, all right. So moving on though, yeah. So Twister released 24 years ago. That's a news story. That's how slow news has been because of COVID-19. It's terrible, terrible virus. So, in other news, though, there was actually some movie news over the last few weeks. We got the Russo brothers are working on a live-action remake of Disney's Hercules. Or they've been tasked with doing so, anyway.
Just make sure the music's in it.
Please. Because I know they took the music out of Mulan, and that's a huge bummer. If they take the music out of Hercules, I'm going to be extra bummed.
Yeah, because at that point, then it's just inaccurate Greek mythology.
Right?
Yeah, like, if I want to see Zeus do some heinous stuff, if I'm going to watch an almost true-to-life version of it.
Right, if I'm going to watch a real-life version. Or they did, like, that terrible Rock movie.
Oh, I don't even want to talk about that.
My favorite part was how the drawn-on muscles for the breastplate he was wearing were smaller than his actual muscles.
Well, he can't be contained, Jesse. He can't be. He is the Rock. He's multiple rocks.
That does explain all of the Danny DeVito reprising his role memes I've seen.
Oh, my God.
Because I didn't know this was an actual project. I just saw, like, people talking about, like, no, make him play the little goat man.
They definitely, like, it would work out. They drew it where the character even looked a bit like Danny DeVito.
Yeah, which...
just as a little satyr. Yeah. So, yeah, that's... Hopefully that works out, and it will have the actual music in it, because the music was so good in that movie.
And you know, give us the Rock back. Let him get a second shot at it. I'm not even being funny.
Let him play that character? I mean, I'd be fine with it if the Russo brothers are directing it, and it's the Disney style.
He doesn't get to be he doesn't get to be Maui and Hercules.
Oh, you know, that's fair.
Like, he's not Harrison Ford. He doesn't get to be everything.
Well, you know what? I feel like we need a new Harrison Ford that I can understand talk. So,
Do you know who Harrison Ford is?
Yeah, he mumbles sometimes, and it's very, very distracting. You ever watch him in interviews?
No, I watch him in movies.
I didn't know he did interviews. I thought he hated interviews.
He does, and I think that's probably why he mumbles a lot.
Yeah, because he just curses about the franchises he's in because he hates the fan bases of them.
But yeah,
he does.
If we need
he hates all of us so much.
It's the whole thing. If I want a live-action Hercules, give me The Rock. Or make him Zeus. Honestly, just put The Rock in it.
I honestly wouldn't be mad about The Rock being cast in that movie.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't matter. As long as it has the music in it. Which I finally did watch the Lion King remake.
Is it any good?
Yeah, it's great. Like it's just about shot for shot. There's a few different changes in it, especially with the hyenas. There's quite a few changes there. But a lot of it was a shot-for-shot remake with, obviously, a new voice cast. It was really good. I enjoyed the crap out of it.
I own it. I mean, still haven't Lion seen King. It.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that, and that also shocks me, because I know how much you, A, love Lion King, and B, were looking forward to this Lion King.
Again, I think it's the Season 6 of Community, if you listen to the pre-show, where I'm like, I don't want it to not be good. Even though literally I'm an insane person. That's what it boils down to. Cause like I haven't heard a single person say it was bad. Like my mom flat out said, you will love it. And I still haven't seen it.
Yeah. I mean, I can assure you both things are great. And I know Donald Glover's not in Season 6 of Community, but he is in The Lion King.
You need the selling point. Oh, I have the album on my phone. Like the second that hit iTunes, I like downloaded it. And I was like, I'm going to need to listen to this. And it's fire.
Yeah, it's great. The music is great. It's so good. So you definitely need to watch it.
All right,
Speaking of Community, though, Dan Harmon has confirmed conversations are happening around a Community movie.
I'm not allowing myself to get excited until, like, 30 minutes after I've seen the movie. Because they have been this headline has been circulating in some form or another since the show ended. Like, I'm pretty sure we got this headline before it got moved to Yahoo Screen.
Yeah, we definitely did.
Six seasons in a movie has been a thing for a long time.
Yeah, so I don't think that we're going to get anything anytime even remotely soon. I need to see, because it goes up in about a week exactly, actually. They did a special table read with the whole cast. And then they also have like a watch along podcast that they're doing called The Darkest Timeline that they all, since they had everybody there, like as that Zoom call, they recorded a special edition of that, which I think it's Joel McHale and Ken Jeong. They're doing the podcast. I need to listen to it, but, so I need to see that just to kind of get my fix. Cause it's everybody, it's the core study group except for Chevy Chase, obviously, but
right.
I want to see that, and I'm willing to bet if we do get a movie, he will not be involved in that either.
Oh no!
Oh, definitely not. From my understanding, he pissed everybody off whenever he left.
And he also, him and Dan Harmon pretty much hated each other like before Dan Harmon left, and Chevy left after that. So.
So yeah, no, I'm very confident that he will not be back in any capacity in the film. If he is, well, plus, I mean, spoilers, I guess, but he's dead in the show.
Yeah.
So they would bring him back, I guess, as a hologram, maybe?
A second hologram that no one ever saw again.
Yes, the ghost of Pierce just walking around Community.
No, just one static shock. I don't really need a minute more than that.
No, that's pretty fair.
Like, he very much, like, I'm not going to say he ruined that show, but his backstage stuff, like, pretty much did just put, like, a black eye on a lot of that stuff.
I believe it.
If you're going to say that, you also have to say the exact same thing about Dan Harmon.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, it was pretty much both ways from the way it sounded.
And, like, not even just directed towards each other. Like, you know, Harmon had some stuff come out that was pretty gross about how he treated some of the other staff, and just like, and also like, it's one of those things where, yeah, it's a total D move to do, but like the bad people inside of us think it might be funny. But like when he played the Chevy Chase voicemail at the Christmas party, and then like left the voicemail with everybody saying screw you Chevy like on his voicemail, like that there's roads go two ways, like that's a two-way street.
I actually had not heard anything about any of that.
Yes, Chevy Chase left Dan Harmon a pretty scathing profanity-ridden voicemail, and then in response Dan Harmon played that voicemail both on his podcast, which is a live show, Harmontown, and also like at one of the show rap parties or Christmas parties that Chevy wasn't at, called him, left him an insulting voice message, and then encouraged everybody to like say screw you Chevy or F you Chevy or something like that on the voicemail, like the entire show.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It was real bad for a lot of people involved.
So I kind of wonder, like, the participation of the crowd there. Was everybody, like, enthusiastically participating, or were they just kind of looking at Dan like, ooh?
From interviews and stuff I've heard, it was a little bit of a mixture. Like, some people were very on board with it. Some people were like, all right, let's just go along with it, because, you know, let's just move past it, please.
Right. But, let's get past this.
Because, again, Chevy Chase was notoriously very difficult to work with on that show, and it wasn't just directed at Dan Harmon. Like there was a lot of problems backstage on that show. There's a lot of apparently really great stuff. Like I found out recently that apparently the original duo that was supposed to come out of that show was supposed to be Pierce and Troy, but it was the fact that Donald Glover and Danny Pudi ended up becoming like actual real life best friends, and they had such undeniable chemistry on screen that's when they pivoted to Troy and Abed.
Yeah, because I think I just recently started season two, because like I've watched Community so many times that I just kind of jump around where I watch, and I completely forgot that Troy moved in with Pierce mm-hmm. at the end of season one, and I was like, oh yeah, that was a thing that happened.
Yep. All right, let's move on to more news here. We've got Mike Flanagan and Trevor Macy, the guys that worked on the Gerald's Game and Dr. Sleep adaptations from Stephen King, are going to adapt Revival, which I personally have never read. It's one of those things with Stephen King. I haven't read anything that he released after the year 2000, I think. And also, most things with Stephen King, the movie will likely be better. So I'm not going to read this book, though the premise sounds very interesting. Basically, a couple of guys bring someone back from the dead, and it ends up turning this individual into a portal to what is the afterlife, where there's not a heaven or a hell, but instead a dimension of chaos where humans are enslaved and controlled by Lovecraftian horrors. One of the most dangerous of which is known as Mother, who inhabits the body of the girl they attempted to revive, and, you know, havoc ensues.
As it okay. is wont to.
Yeah, the premise sounds very interesting. Almost to a point where I want to read the book, but then I remember, oh, it's Stephen King, though. I'll wait for the movie.
I like Dr. Sleep a lot. but outside of that, yeah, that doesn't do a whole lot to excite me, I guess. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I guess
I didn't see the other movie,
Gerald's Game.
Yeah, because that's the one where the woman, like, her husband or boyfriend, like, ties her up for sex, and then he dies while she's like stranded in a cabin.
Yep.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but
it's really good. I highly recommend it. It's a Netflix exclusive, I believe, and mm-hmm. yeah, it's a really good movie. At least I thought so. Shannon liked it quite a bit too, if that adds some more credence for you horror buffs out there. But yeah, I like it quite a bit.
I'm good. I think I can say this is a hard pass for me.
Well, any of like them. It's not like a horror movie. It's more of a, I guess, thriller.
It's definitely still a horror movie, but it's not like, it's more psychological and not so much with the jump scares and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm
because
good.
Because it kind of like flashes around to like her history and stuff like that, and you know, this woman trying to survive this situation that she's in and all this other stuff. It's a really interesting movie. I enjoyed it quite a bit. There is kind of a monster, but that's a whole thing. It's interesting.
Yeah, I gotta watch season 6 of Community. Sorry, I just won't have the time.
You definitely need to do that.
You really do.
All right, and then this bit of news that Asa hit me with, I really like the sound of. Tamora Morrison, who played Jango Fett back in Attack of the Clones, will be coming back as Boba Fett for The Mandalorian.
Why? Why?
I don't know. I guess he's alive.
Patton Oswalt tweeted out called it or something. Like, he took a victory lap on Twitter. And then he included the link to, have you guys seen the episode of Parks and Rec where he's filibustering the city council?
Yeah.
Have you actually seen the full thing?
Yes.
And it starts with Boba Fett's Mandalorian glove reaching out of the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
He's just like, called it. Revealing he's apparently still alive.
That whole thing was legitimately written by Patton Oswalt. And he does, if you guys haven't seen it, it's on YouTube. It's like a 20-minute long, just rambling nonsense.
If I'm correct, it wasn't written by Patton Oswalt. It was improvised by Patton Oswalt.
That's more believable.
That's correct, yeah. Which is that's so brilliant. I love Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, it's real good. Like, I mean, cynicism aside, this is cool that they're going to do Boba Fett, they're at least bringing back, you know, the person that he was modeled after. I guess after the fact, doesn't matter.
But yeah, it was then the prequels, because he was cloned after Jango Fett, so.
And he wanted, like, for whatever reason, they raised him as a son instead of, like, doing the age advancing thing.
That was Jango Fett wanted an actual son.
But, like, surely they're not going to have him take off his helmet, right? Because that was the whole thing of The Mandalorian. Not. Was just like, nope, the helmet stays on forever.
But it comes down to the voice, because, I mean, he's still...
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But so that it'll be kind of cool that he'll sound exactly like Jango did.
It's one of those things where I'm so burnt out on these sequels of having to go out of their way to, like, hey, no, we're doing our own thing, sure, but we can't let you think that it's important unless we hook it in somehow to, like, the original cast of characters. Mandalorian as a show was strong enough on its own without really relying on anything aside from the backdrop of the original trilogy. But now they're actively bringing in characters, and that just, to me, that, like, waters it down.
See, I think it has more to do less with the original movies and more to do with the fact that the writer for this show is the same as the writer for Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to bring in his characters, because he actually did a lot of work with young Boba Fett in the Clone Wars series.
Did he? It's the same reason. Seen it.
Oh, another one I highly recommend. Yeah, I know you got to get through those
We've talked about it before. I always get to the exact same episode, and I'm like, oh no, this is bad. I don't want to watch this anymore. Yeah,
those terrible, terrible Jar Jar episodes. Outside of that, and even like the Jar Jar in the Clone Wars stuff is way better than he was in the movies. It's only bad because of how bad he was in the movies.
Yeah. No, those episodes were pretty bad. In the factory with him and C-3PO, like, stumbling around into success, just like, nah, this is gross.
Yeah, looking at it through the lens of it's a kid's show, it's even tolerable.
Even as a kid, I would have been, nah, man, you
nah, bad. Dude, as a kid, I love Jar Jar Binks. Like, as an adult, I recognize that it's terrible and it's awful. But when I was a kid watching episode 1 in theaters, I loved Jar Jar.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I hated him. Even as a kid, I'm watching it just being like, this dude's annoying. Go away.
Nah, I liked it.
Where's
it
the awesome funny. Looking red dude? Like, I mean, shocker, my favorite wrestler's Kane. So, of course, I thought Darth Maul was, you know, BA. But
I mean, I did too. Though Qui-Gon Jinn was my favorite character from that movie.
I don't care about the fish dude who sucks. No. Give me the cool lightsaber people.
Yeah, exactly. No, I get you. I do. I thought Jar Jar was funny. Basically, it's the difference of now as an adult, I don't find Jar Jar funny at all. And he annoys the hell out of me. But when I was a kid, he was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I think it does have more to do with that, the Clone Wars aspect of it, than it does tying it into the movies. Because okay. I know he wants to bring back in Ahsoka Tano, which is, you know, character of his creation that he's a huge fan of.
Didn't they cast someone? Like, isn't it Rosario Dawson or something?
That's the rumor going around, that Rosario Dawson's going to be Ahsoka Tano, which, if that actually becomes truth, holy crap, that's awesome. And I love it. But right now, it's just a rumor, and it seems to be, like, it's great fan casting. Like, it's perfect fan casting. So I don't know if it's actually going to happen for the show. Hmm. But it might, and that would be awesome. But I know Tanner, for one, is ridiculously excited about the possibility, even, that Ahsoka's going to be in the show, and that Rosario Dawson's going to be the actress.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this next portion of our podcast, brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Right now, as with most comic book shops, you know, comic books they haven't been doing a whole lot with because, A, they haven't been shipping them. But also, you know, COVID-19 is hitting small businesses all over the place. So I'm going to plug small businesses everywhere. If you can shop at a small business right now, please do so over your Targets and your Walmarts and all that good stuff. Because they need this way more than those guys do. All right. Walking Dead Humble Bundle. I know we don't usually talk a whole lot about like sales and stuff like that and where to get stuff, but this was just too good. I think for the next 9 days from this recording, you can get the entire digital collection, like all 27 trades in The Walking Dead for $18. On HumbleBundle.com. So if anybody was interested in reading those books, best possible time right now.
That's whole lot of depression for not a lot of dollars.
Yeah. Do we know the charity they're doing this month?
I do not know the charity. I think, because it's different depending on what it you're is. Buying. That's, yeah, because I know like there's a video game bundle right now that's going to Extra Life.
Okay, gotcha. See what,
because yeah, that is one thing with Humble Bundle. If you guys have never messed with that before, it's mostly charity. You pay however much you want for it, but you have different tiers. If you pay X dollars, you get this. If you pay X more dollars, you get like, you know, both things, and you keep kind of going. And you can pay as little or as much as you want. So you will get like, if you pay pretty much any amount of money, you'll get the first 5 volumes of The Walking Dead. And then it keeps kind of going up, and you pay the $18, and you get everything. And it's going to the Book Industry Charitable Foundation is okay. Where the money's going. So yeah, none of the money, like, I think Humble Bundle gets a little bit of a cut, but all the money you go towards in Humble Bundle goes towards a charity. And you just get these items, you know, for being generous, I suppose. It's a great way to get, like, it's evolved quite a bit, but back in the day, it was a great way to get a ton of indie games and things of that nature,
or like 15-year-old games from one developer. You can get like 20 of them for like a buck.
Yep,
I did that with Capcom one time. It was pretty awesome
because they used to do the deal where like you can pay any amount and you get a ton of stuff. If you pay more than the average donation, you get a ton more stuff. And that's it's a cool system. I highly recommend checking Humble Bundle out. And yet, if you guys are wanting to check out The Walking Dead, obviously, that's the best way to do it. $18 is less than a single trade of The Walking Dead. And you get all 27 volumes.
Actually,
make sure I keep going up 27. Like it's,
yeah, and I'm like not arguing to like...
It is actually 34 volumes of The Walking Dead.
Whoa. Jeez. Yeah, I don't think I could read that. Like, I mean, I could read it, obviously, but like that comic book is such a...
It's heavy.
Masterclass of screw you and your feelings. That, no.
Yeah, I read the first compendium, which is through the prison. Or it ends at the fall of the prison, I guess.
Yeah.
And I finished it, and I read it probably over a month. Like, it wasn't like I shotgunned it by any stretch. And, like, I just felt... This was around the same time I read, it was a Cormac McCarthy book, and I can't remember the name of it. It wasn't The Road. Blood Meridian. I just read Blood Meridian, too, So I was just like, I'm dead inside. Like, everything hurts. This existence is pain. No, because for those of you who don't know, and spoiler alert for a book that came out in like 1600, that is also a book that is, here's a new chapter. Let's introduce a new character. And I can't wait to see what either horrific thing they either do or is done to them. It's just like, everything's bad. It was really good. Yeah. Like, everything, like, it was very well done. It just, I felt the symbiote inside of just, like, there's probably just a mass in me of just sludge of negativity.
And most of it came from that.
But yeah, like, it's just a focus, just,
Yeah.
Highly recommend both. Just, you know.
Know what you're getting into.
Yeah, it's a ride.
And it's very different at this point. The show and the comic book are extremely different properties after the first chunk. So, if you're a fan of the show, you might still like the comic book, and there'll be more, it'll be different enough that you're not just, like, you know, reading a book that went through a show you just watched. Or are watching? There's... Is that show still going?
Oh, they had, it went on delay because of COVID, but I think they're on their final season.
Oh, good lord. All right. The other comic book news, we got Marvel is going to begin shipping comic books to shops again on May 27th. Starting off with, I think they're only hitting us with 5 or 6 books. And then the next week, they're hitting with a few more and a few more until they ramp back up to the normal release schedule. So May 27th, Marvel is going to be shipping out. April 28th is when DC started shipping out a few books. They have scaled back significantly. I don't have a list of what's hit so far, but not much. They don't even have... I think the only, like, huge books they've had is Nightwing and Batman since they started reshipping. So, yeah. That's when you can look forward to getting those comic books back in your store. Make sure you hit up your local comic shops. They'll be happy to see you, I'm sure. However they're selling stuff. I know our personal shop up in Villainous Grounds in Perryville, they're still doing curbside handouts and that or things of that nature. I'm really excited to get back up there and get some comic books because, boy, I've been itching for some comics lately.
I really feel like I wish I had more time to read, because I'm still, like, I still haven't gotten caught up on anything.
Oh, Asa.
Yeah, and it had been a couple weeks since we'd gone up before stuff actually stopped, too, so.
Yeah, we've
big
got...
yikes.
There's definitely some stuff in my box, because we didn't get around to... By the time we were like, alright, yeah, we can hit it up, they're like, alright, well, we're now closing it this time because of COVID. And it's like, well, crap.
Which, in their defense, and because they are the purest, most wonderful people on the planet, they messaged us and said, hey, if you give us a heads up, we will go to the store specifically for you.
Yeah, that's how awesome they are. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm not putting the blame on them at all. This is on us.
And we also, because we also, when they sent us that, we both messaged each other like, hey, did you just get this message? Yes, I did. And it's like, yeah, I am absolutely not going to ask them to go above and beyond like that, especially now when, you know, I, for one, am still working with the public.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that would be irresponsible on my end.
Yeah, I guess more importantly, I work with people that work with the public.
Yeah, so it's...
And my roommate works with the public, so yeah, I have refrained from seeing anybody that isn't strictly necessary to see.
Yep.
Or anybody that's not in the same circumstance that I'm in where they have to deal with the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even that, like, if we were, like, if, you know, if someone was like, hey, do we want to watch the pay-per-view last night, I wouldn't have gone. Because it's like, I know people have been in the store all week, like, because the store's back open, you know, I've already seen enough people, I'm not trying to, like, add on top of it.
Yeah.
That's completely fair.
I think we should Zoom call, this is all still going on, we need to Zoom call the next pay-per-view at least. As, like, some semblance of us all watching together.
I mean, I tried to do the Twitch thing, which I didn't do for this one just because, like, it wasn't at the same level of mania.
Yeah.
But.
I had fun with you being on Twitch, though, during mania, in fairness.
Yeah, no, it was fun. You just kind of run into the hope everybody's at the same spot on the show at the same time. Yeah,
that's fair.
I don't know. I think the Zoom call during a wrestling pay-per-view would be fun. I'd get down on that.
But that would also require everybody to have their own subscription.
Get that free trial, baby.
make another email, it's fine.
Exactly.
And card. You have to use the a different card too.
Do they have PayPal?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Nope, if that
they
works.
Have PayPal, they cannot track if you've used PayPal on something else because they don't have that information at all.
Huh. Yeah.
I just know the last time I tried to do a free trial, they're like, even through a new email, it was like, you've already used this card has already been associated with a this account has already been associated with a membership.
Yep.
Do you want to just reactivate it?
Yeah, other programs do that too. Like, I think Hulu does that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you use PayPal to pay for it, they can't track your... Because whenever you do log into PayPal, you just it takes you to a separate website. So you actually log in for PayPal. And then PayPal sends them back an all clear. They don't send them the account information or anything.
Oh, neat.
So, yeah. If WWE Network allows PayPal, then we can go that route.
We'll figure that out for PWU.
Yeah, that'll be something else later. So, that's it for comic books because, again, COVID just killing stuff. We did miss, and I know I talked to these guys outside of the show and stuff, like, it was really, really cool. I think there's still some people doing some charity stuff for comic books, but I do want to throw a shout out to the folks that were doing the charity for, like, it was the Comics for Creators. That was it. Comics for Creators did a bunch of, or Creators for Comics. That makes more sense. Bunch of comic book creators offered a bunch of stuff up on eBay, and then you could do an auction style bidding on, not on eBay, on Twitter. You could do an auction style bidding, and all of the proceeds went towards supporting local comic shops. And a bunch of comic book creators raised several million dollars for comic book shops. So yeah, shout out to those guys. That was awesome. I know I got a really, really cool Laura Kinney Wolverine commission that I like a whole lot. So,
oh, that's awesome.
I thought I had shown that to you guys. I guess not.
You there might have. You, yeah.
Or it's just showed been, it to me. I saw it.
Yeah, you might need to send it to me.
All right, I can do that later. Just
Not super worried about it right now. But that would be the champion of the week.
Yeah, no, it was real cool. Yeah. All right. Video games. This portion of our podcast brought to you by our wonderful friends at Press Start to Join. You can find all the content at ps2jshow.com. As far as more, they're still doing the segment where they're letting you know about where you can get games for free. And in this time of quarantine, what's more important than free games?
True.
The answer's not a lot. Not a lot is more important.
I had a slight freak out moment with them recently. I got my Patreon like bill, and it was a lot less than I thought it was supposed to be. So like I looked and I saw they weren't on there, and I was like, please tell me you didn't cancel the podcast. They're like, no, we're not charging you guys during COVID. And I'm like, oh, cool. All right, sweet. Whew.
Yeah, we should probably do the same thing.
I mean, that is well beyond my reach of things we are allowed to do. I am just saying I freaked out and had to private message Josh because I was afraid I wasn't paying him anymore.
No, yeah, my greedy ass has never even thought about it.
Yeah, no, it's like that wasn't a hint to you at all. It was strictly a cute anecdote where I freaked out because I want to support an amazing show and Press Start to Join.
So anyway, and when everybody else should too. You guys should check those guys out. Like, if nothing else, they're just super awesome dudes. They're really nice guys, and their content is well researched and entertaining.
Yeah.
All right. So we haven't talked, I don't believe, since the PlayStation 5 controller got revealed. Because that's about the only thing that we've really gotten out of PlayStation 5.
And yeah, they ain't saying nothing.
Do what? Oh they yeah, no, they're nothing. Definitely not. Xbox is hitting like every other day. It feels like we got some news from Xbox, but PlayStation's just very quietly doing their thing. And they hit us with that controller. The internet wasn't happy as a whole. I think they're just about where they need to be. I don't know if I've actually talked to you guys about the controller, though. What do you guys think?
I didn't love it. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen, but I'm not a huge fan of the two-tone on
it. Yeah.
I don't think the light bar as a whole is necessary, even remotely. Outside of, like, what they use it... I know they use it for VR currently. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if that ties into it. But like, I don't want that. If I'm playing in the dark room, like as an immersive experience, I don't need a light shining off of my controller. So hopefully there'll be a setting you can disable that or at least lower it.
I mean, that's been my thought with the PlayStation 4 controller from the beginning. Mm-hmm. The light bar, like, I don't like... I thought the gimmick on it was kind of neat in certain situations, where I know there were certain games, like, if you had a flashlight going, it would light up. Like, oh yeah, look, you have a flashlight in real life, too, haha.
If you switch your guns in Borderlands 2, it switches to the element. That was always really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got stuff like that is kind of neat.
Yeah. I mean, it is, but it's to me, it's not worth having it, like... If I just didn't have that feature at all, I wouldn't be sad.
Yeah,
that's
it. Also,
fair.
Just like, I don't know. This one looks weird. It kind of reminds me of the. I think I misspoke because we talked about it in the group chat, but not the original Xbox controller, but the one that they made smaller,
like the S controller.
Yeah, not the 360 controller. The one that they did kind of the in between that was more manageable. It gives me. I don't know why. It gives me weird vibes of that.
Well, because I remember making that comment in the group chat. I was like, I do not see the Duke at all, but I can almost see your argument for an S controller.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and like I said, that's just the vibe it gets for me. I don't expect other, like, you know, if you don't agree with that, that's fine. That's just how it hit me.
Because they finally got a more ergonomic shape to it. Basically the shape that Xbox has been doing for a long time now.
Kind of, just give me the offset sticks.
Just
give me the offset sticks at this point. Admit you lost. Like, you sold a billion more consoles. You're fine. You're winning that. Just admit that it's, like, it's that stubbornness of just, like, they're not willing to admit that there is a, there is a better mousetrap. Like, you can just do it, you cowards. Or at least give me the option that I can do it.
Yeah, same. Because I do not like that stick layout. I never have. It was finally manageable with the PlayStation 4 controller, but on the PlayStation 3, trying to do first-person shooter with my big old thumbs, it didn't work. I would frequently, in trying to do certain things with that controller, like, hit my own thumb, and because of how I hold a controller just in general, and it was maddening. But this controller looks a lot more comfortable. I definitely agree with Asa. Please, please give me offset sticks. Because the Xbox layout is the correct layout. It just is. Let's move on. I did see, at least for some of the cool stuff with it, I've seen some special edition mock-ups that make the two-tone look kind of cool.
And those, like, are better. And, like, and you know, you're always going to have a second... Like, you'll always end up with a second controller, more than likely. You know, they'll do other colors and stuff just for that one to be the one that comes out of the box. You know, it's not going to keep me from getting a PS4 or a PS5, obviously. But, you know, at the same time, it's just like, okay. Like, I could be... You know, and don't get me wrong. Like, as it stands now, I'm way more excited to see to get a Series X than I am to get a PS5.
Oh yeah, Series X is going to be a launch day pickup for me. PS5 is going to be a special edition console pickup for me.
But once they release a first party title that I have to have, which likely will come with a special edition console.
Yep.
But even like the Series X controller is just, you know, it is just the Xbox One controller, but with an extra button. Cool, perfect. It's not exciting. Yep. It's not going to set the world on fire. But it doesn't need to at this point.
Yeah, it's a slightly improved Xbox One controller, which the Xbox One controller, the Xbox 360 controller is widely considered perfection achieved.
Yeah.
The Xbox One controller, a rocky start to it, but once they got some of the buttons fixed, especially those bumpers, I actually now prefer the Xbox One controller to the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just, you've got it. You know, make some improvements if you need to, but yeah, you're good. It's they've got it. They've got it ready to go. Just in general, I'm more excited for Xbox at this point than I am PlayStation by quite a bit.
But which, in fairness, is because Xbox is the only one that's told us anything about their console coming
that's
up.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
outside of specs, which even that, right. You know, Xbox is winning.
Do you think that PS5 is just holding it so close to the vest, waiting for Xbox to screw up again? Be like, all right, cool, let's now release stuff.
I honestly think it's just it's COVID has totally thrown a wrench in all of their plans, to the point where it's like that spec thing, that weird spec presentation that we got was, I think it was one of the kind of funny people, or it was Giant Bomb or someone pointed out, it's like, okay, at a certain point, they have to start sending these dev kits home with people so we can actually, you know, get games made for the thing. And once it goes outside of Sony, especially, it's going to leak. Yeah. So let's get ahead of the leak. And we're just like, okay, here's what's inside the machine. And that's why that might have been a reason why we got such a weird presentation for that. But yeah, the fact that they're not talking about any sort of answer to Smart Share or, you know, anything like that is kind of, it's weird, but I also feel like they're probably just going to wait to, like, do a major blowout maybe in, like, July or something.
Probably so. I imagine, like, whenever they do their own... I'm hoping whenever they do their own version of E3, because I know they're not going to be at E3, which obviously there's not an actual E3 this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure a lot of companies are still going to have their own conferences and stuff.
Well, they're doing that Summer of Games got announced with, like, Jeff Keighley.
There you go.
It's just going to be a series of I think even just on today's Games Daily, they mentioned it's more of like a branded Google calendar. Of, okay, Ubisoft's doing theirs on this day, Microsoft's doing theirs on this day, so if WB wants to do their presentation, you know, they don't want to have it at the same time, at the same date. So, right. And I feel like that's also part of it, is because PlayStation has historically done console reveals at these big events with a lot of people, where they fly in, you know, influencers and journalists and press and stuff like that, and clearly now that's not an option right now. So are they setting up a digital version where it's okay, here is the actual box, here is, you know, the, you know, a couple of the games that could be coming out in the launch window, or are they waiting until, are they hoping that maybe they can, you know, do a live event at this point? It's which I personally don't think they are, because they were one of the first companies to pull out of, like, what was the one that got canceled,
like, is it PAX?
It's like GDC, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It was like, because they were like, hey, we don't want to send our people, like, into airports and stuff. So,
right.
I don't know. It'll be interesting. And, like, I don't think that I'd like to think that they're not just going to limp into this new generation because they're cocky and they've won this generation by such a wide margin. But Xbox, aside from kind of the black eye that they took with this latest Inside Xbox, you know, they have been marketing the hell out of themselves, and they've been doing it perfectly.
Yeah, and I've heard a couple of people talking about it, and then once we get to that portion, I'm going to ask you about it again, because I didn't get a chance to actually look up and see what people were so upset with.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, we've got a few other things to talk about. Assassin's Creed Valhalla got a cinematic trailer, as well as an in-game sort of cinematic thing that actually happened at the gameplay showcase.
That was that's the big controversy coming out of it between Ubisoft as well as Microsoft. Both kind of didn't set expectations properly, because when you hear gameplay footage, you expect HUD, someone playing the game, not just, you know, it's the theory that I have is that these companies are now trying to pivot away from, when you say a gameplay trailer or gameplay footage, they mean in game or in engine. Which is not what we're conditioned to believe, at least so far. And I think they're trying to upend that definition right now. No, Valhalla looks awesome, though.
Like, yeah, it does.
I've talked at length about how I don't really have an attachment to the Assassin's Creed franchise. I'm not a huge fan. I think to me, the present-day stuff is boring and uninteresting. And agreed. So, like, that's why I loved Odyssey. Like, Odyssey was one of my favorite games of that year, which... You know, God of War is my favorite game. Came out the same year. Spider-Man came out the same year. Red Dead 2 came out the same year. And Odyssey holds, like, stands up to those games. So I'm super excited for this. It looks beautiful. I like the Viking vibe that they're going with. Like, I like that setting. I'm not super familiar with Norse stuff, but this could be, you know, really, really cool. I like the fact that they have flat out said this is not going to be bigger or longer than Odyssey. They, you know, because Odyssey had such a huge world, but there was a lot of nothing in it. Like, there was just a lot of expanses you just had to travel through. And if this means it's more dense with things to do and characters and activities, I am all for that.
Same. I'm pretty stoked about this game. I like Norse mythology a lot. It looks really, really interesting. Apparently, you will not have to have had, at least even from Odyssey, you don't have to have played the previous games to really enjoy it. They've really taken the real life stuff has taken a back seat, which good, because the real life stuff is dumb. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care about. I could give two shits about why they're there.
Just a Sunday show.
No, remember that was fine. We decided that we just couldn't drop F-bombs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because he said ass earlier, and I was like, oh, no, we did make... Count. That yeah, meant... we... It's in the Bible.
Ass has never counted. It's just been so long since we've done it, Nerd Up, I forgot the rule.
Yeah. Yeah, we just can't drop F-bombs. Or GDs. So anyway.
That's the hard one.
Yeah, I could give two shits about any of that real life stuff. I don't care. I think the Assassin's Creed franchise as a whole would be significantly better if it was just running through different eras with assassins in it. I don't need an overall connecting thing. Or if you want to make it like an Easter egg thing, like a background thing, like you can connect to your ancestors or something, cool. That's fine. Definitely don't need it in game.
Or like, even I would be fine if it was just like, oh, hey, by the way, all throughout history, there has been this like secret brotherhood of assassins. Leave it at that. I don't care about aliens. Like, no, that's...
Oh, definitely weird. Not. Yeah, the alien thing was just dumb.
So, I played... I think I, like, shotgunned all of the games up until 3 one summer. Before 3 came out, so that would have been, like, 2012, 2013. So,
that's what I
played
did.
Two games?
No, four.
No, I played four games.
Assassin's Creed 2, Brotherhood, and then Revelations.
Revelations.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought those were after 3.
Nope.
Yeah, no.
I thought those were when they stopped numbering them.
Yeah, basically you had Assassin's Creed, and then you had the Ezio trilogy, and then you had Assassin's Creed 3.
3, yeah, because it used to follow the numbering system, just followed the, you got a new number with every new assassin.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, but, so I played like four games over the course of a summer, like within the course of like a month. Like I knocked them all out. And it was one of those things where that, like, current day stuff was actually kind of a neat little palate cleanse in between, because it's not as overbearing as people would think. 4 did it wrong because it did the first person stuff, but like even in the earlier games, like it was still the same kind of game. It was just in current day, like it still played the same, you just didn't do as much. But 4 was kind of a miss with the first person stuff.
I mean, it was just Revelations 2. Like, that was the problem, and we spent a lot of time outside of being an assassin where it was fun to be, you know, play the game, and, you know, the story was interesting, and then you switch to Desmond and the story's not interesting, and he's not fun to play as.
It gets there in 3. Like, 3, it picks up a lot for it, where, like, the current day stuff kind of picks up.
That's fine, I couldn't get through 3.
Yeah, it's Connor, one of those, like,
Connor was the Anakin Skywalker of the Assassin's Creed franchise, and I hate him still.
Yeah, they finally, like, they made the bleeding effect a full thing with Desmond, so he actually stops being as whiny, and, like, it's just like, no, this is actually what I am, and then he kind of becomes more badass. Like, it becomes a lot more tolerable in 3, but you are correct with, like, 2 for sure didn't do it right. Brotherhood was pretty solid. 3 was probably the best when it came to that. Revelations was weird with how they did, like, the real-world stuff, because, like, he was in a coma the entire time.
Yeah.
I still like the lore behind it, but I get why people don't like it.
Yeah, like it's fine if you like it. Like it was just, I think it was dumb, and I think the series would have been better without it. Like I don't think it was necessary to the franchise at all.
It wasn't necessary. It was a cool add-on if you were willing to get into it.
Yeah, well, the problem is they forced you into it whether or not you wanted it.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't get through Black Flag. Because it was, it's the tutorial area where you're chasing someone through an island to teach you the controls. Okay, fine. And then you were immediately pulled into like a 30-minute first-person office tour. And then when you finally get through that slog, you are back into follow this person through a city. And it's like, this is not fun. This is boring. So I put it down. So even though 4 is like regarded as, you know, the best one, the coolest one, you know, pirates are cool. Like, I couldn't get through that opening hour.
Yep. Yeah, right, we need to get past that. Assassin's Creed, though, because we don't have a whole lot of time left here.
But Valhalla looks awesome. Odyssey was super cool. Origins changed a bunch of stuff. Odyssey, like, expanded on that. And I'm excited to see what they do with Valhalla.
Same. I'm not allowing myself to get excited for this game, but it will probably be the first Assassin's Creed game I pick up in a while. All right, EA, we got a little bit of news from them. First thing, we've got the current gen games that are on next gen platforms will be up or can be upgraded for free. So we finally got.
You missed part of that line.
Which
for
part?
A limited time.
Oh, I didn't see that part anywhere. Yep. Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah, for Madden 21 is the one at least.
Yeah,
you
that's
have
the only
to
one
have,
so far.
You have to have purchased it for Xbox One X or Xbox One by December 31st, and you have to redeem the upgrade on Series X by March 31st.
Neat. And I don't know if it's one of those things where, because I imagine you have to buy it digitally, because that's the one thing I wanted to look into and couldn't find. Because with the smart delivery, with Xbox's system, you have both copies of the game. If you play it on Xbox One, you get the Xbox One version. If you play it on Series X, you get the Series X version, despite only having purchased one copy. I couldn't find, because they did use the word upgrade, if whenever you redeemed that copy, if your copy, the copy on your account now, is just the Series X version, or the next generation version, and you no longer have access to the last gen version. And that's what I'm really curious about, and couldn't find anything on.
Yeah, it'll be like, so if I buy it on Xbox One, but then I don't buy a Series X until, you know, June, or the next year, is it still backwards compatible? I'm just playing a weaker version of it? Or is it just completely like, do I not have Madden now?
It'll still be backwards compatible, surely, because the system is straight up backwards compatible. It's not a software version.
Yeah.
Like, it's hardware compatible. So I imagine you'd still have access to that game on your Series X. Just like you would the rest of your Xbox One library.
Yeah, I also just don't like the precedent this sets, because, like, clearly Microsoft can't say, hey, you have to make your game, you know, you're only selling one copy of your game.
Right.
But we know Cyberpunk is using it, we know Valhalla is using it.
Yep.
So the idea that someone could be like, oh, well, EA isn't, so maybe we don't have to.
I feel like nobody is looking at EA for an example, unless, like, in that, if EA gets away with it and people aren't upset about it, then maybe somebody would be like, okay, well, that's fine. But EA's not going to get away with it. Like,
well,
EA,
if they're beating EA with rocks, but they only come at us with sticks, that's still a win.
I guess that's kind of true. So anyway, we got a little bit more information from EA, though. They did confirm that Jedi Fallen Order is going to be the start of a new franchise, which means we're going to get sequels. In that universe, but we're gonna get sequels to that game. So
sweet, I like the first one a lot.
I still haven't played it.
I still need to beat it.
They just announced a whole bunch of extra content for it too. So
apparently, it's a free content too. Like, it's a free content drop.
Oh yeah,
there.
Yeah. No, yeah, it was a huge upgrade. It came way too late. Like, that game is one that you have to kind of like, you need to get good at it to be able to proceed. And if I were to try to jump back into it to do some of the, like, challenge stuff, I would get my ass handed to me. And I don't want to, you know, it's so far removed. Like, it's handy for the people who in, you know, 4 months are eventually going to get to play it on Stadia. But, you know, assuming this comes with it, because the history of Stadia has shown that you may not even get this additional stuff may not be ready yet. But, I mean, it's cool for the people who want it. I'm not gonna go back through the story to try to relearn the combat and stuff, but it's super cool that they're continuing to support the game.
Right. Which that's one nice thing about, like, I've talked about it before, when it comes to Star Wars and EA, it's not up to EA to drop it. The mouse is looking at him like, no, this is Star Wars. You're gonna take care of it or we're gonna take away the contract. And EA just tries to say, you know, they can try to say, well, you can't take away the contract. And then Mickey would just laugh at them while they're tearing the contract up. Like, that's just how that would work.
Oh, see, so. I put it more on Respawn. Like that they as a studio seem to take a lot of pride into what into the, you know, the content they put out, and the fact that they got to, you know, play in this Star Wars sandbox. I think they wanted to use, you know, every potential opportunity.
No, I put zero of that on Respawn. I think that if EA wouldn't let them do it, then they're not going to get to do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, EA would have, like, they had to have gotten the okay to do it, but
yeah,
from what we've seen, EA kind of lets... Respawn seems to be the studio that they kind of are a little bit more hands-off with.
Well, except that before Apex, Titanfall 2, they wouldn't let them do anything else with. They pulled them off of Titanfall 2 completely to put them on Apex. And wouldn't let them do anything else for Titanfall. So, no, I don't... I think that EA doesn't really care. Like, Respawn absolutely loves to do more stuff with Star Wars, and they are excited to do it, and that's great. But if EA pulled the funding, which they've done with other games that didn't perform immediately as great as they wanted them to, Battlefront, for example, were it not for Disney, Battlefront would have been dead in the water. Battlefront would have been Anthem.
But, oh, Anthem.
Oh, Anthem. But because it's Disney, Battlefront actually got turned around, got really, really good, and is consistently getting free update releases and is really fun to play now. Anthem was supposed to be that and will not be because EA don't care.
I would say nobody's wanting Anthem to get better. I mean, people are wanting it, but nobody's going to make a fuss about it.
Want Anthem to get better, but because EA has already promised everything is free, there's no profit in making it better.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a bummer.
Yeah, that it really won't is.
Stop them.
Do what?
That won't stop them.
Profit?
No, to charge.
Oh,
like, that. And they'll get around by saying it, well, the original roadmap was free. But yeah, since but look at we all only of these had changes.
One part on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. All right, EA has also confirmed that... Okay, I say confirmed. A very reliable source has confirmed that EA's HD remake, because it's been kind of hitting the news. EA confirmed a while back that they're working on an HD remake. They didn't say what it was going to be of. A very reliable source has broken that that remake is going to be Mass Effect Trilogy. So Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, getting an HD remake is what it looks like.
If I'm happy for it, you and Hunter.
If they make it to where the first game actually plays well, I might actually experience Mass Effect.
It's the getting through the first hump of the original Mass Effect is a little hard, but like once you get out of the Citadel, everybody always says that, and it's absolutely true. Once you get out of the Citadel of Mass Effect, it's a lot better. But anyway, HD remake. That'll be great. I am also very excited for me and Hunter. And Hunter's wife.
Breaking news. Apparently the CW has acquired the Swamp Thing show.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. All right, well.
And it could be getting new life.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, because DC dropped that like before it even finished.
Yeah, James Wan says that if they want to see more, they want more with it, then... to support it on CW, so it looks like that might be going to TV.
Neat. Huh. All right. Now we'll finish up the show. We definitely ran a little bit long here, but we're going to finish up the show with the Xbox Series X games showcase. They showed off a bunch of gameplay from a bunch of different games. Well, sometimes it wasn't so much gameplay. This is what we were talking about earlier. They showed off a lot of in-game cinematics.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed off a lot of gameplay for other games, but yeah, it's not as gameplay-y as we wanted. We also got a few world premieres, which was kind of cool, but I'm just going to run through the list real quick of what we got. Bright Memory Infinite. This actually looked really, really pretty. I don't know what's happening. Apparently it is a sequel. Anybody that owns Bright Memory on PC is going to get the Bright Memory Infinite for free, which is kind of cool. It's apparently made by one dude in China.
Yeah. How?
I don't know. Because
like this started. Like that was the thing that started. I saw I think this, and then this was the only footage I actually got to see while it was live. I had to go back and watch everything else because we got busy at work again. But, like, this was started off hype. Like, I thought this looked awesome. Up until it got to the driving part. Because just first-person driving does absolutely nothing for me.
Yeah, and he rolls up and, like, was that a DeLorean? Because that looked like a DeLorean.
I think it was one of those things where it's like, it was like a DeLorean because a DeLorean just, intrinsically means futuristic-looking. Whether it's in 1970 or 2020, the DeLorean just looks futuristic.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
So I'm not sure. I'm willing to bet it wasn't the actual, like, branded DeLorean.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it wasn't, but it definitely looked like it was, that's where it was running.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it looked super interesting. There's definitely some time travel shenanigans going on. They went from fighting soldiers to fighting, knights and stuff like that. It's weird. It looks interesting. I'm excited to see more of it because it was also gorgeous.
Yeah.
It looked so pretty. A lot of interesting looking movement system going on with grappling hooks and stuff like that. Some bullet time looking stuff, which is kind of neat. But yeah, I'll be interested to see more of that. We got to see Dirt 5. Dirt 5, like, it's Codemasters has for a while been considered like some top tier racing stuff. Dirt and Grid are both extremely popular racing titles, so I'm sure that a lot of people are really excited about this. I know I am not a huge racing fan, but it looked super pretty. And it will be smart delivery. So if you get Dirt 5 on Xbox One, once you get your Series X, you'll have it there too, which is pretty cool. We got to see, this is another one that was definitely not gameplay. Also, just in general, if you were a fan of the horror genre, boy, were you excited about this conference. Because, man, there were so many super creepy-looking games.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the next one we got to see was Scorn. This is going to be an Xbox exclusive. Looks like something straight out of Alien. I don't know what it's about, but it looks super creepy. And it, of course, will be smart delivery because... Well, never mind. This one's actually... this is a Series X exclusive. So this is not going to be on Xbox One. We got to see Chorus. This looked kind of cool if you're a Mass Effect fan. It looks a whole lot like... You know, Mass Effect. But it's just a space combat simulator.
I didn't watch the actual... Like, I didn't go... It probably would have taken me a lot less time and a lot less fast-forwarding. But I... wanted to watch this just because, like, because I didn't, like you said earlier, I didn't know we were doing a show tonight for it. I was just curious because I'm super into Xbox right now. And when this happened, the whole, like, I was just going through my head of, like, Starlink 2, come on, do it, you cowards. Starlink 2, give me a reason to open the first one and have all of those stupid ships.
Nope. Cool.
Still looks super cool.
It does.
I'm bad at these kinds of games, but I might check it out. Or I'll wait 6 months and wait for it to be on Xbox Live or Game Pass or something.
That's kind of what I'm hoping it hits is Game Pass, and then I can play it and it'll be great. We had to see Madden 21, which this was another one. I actually was curious about what gameplay was going to look like with Madden 21. But they didn't show any Madden 21 gameplay. They did this montage of, like, the evolution of Madden and how it looks. And they had Patrick Mahomes talking about stuff. That was it.
And who, I've heard him speak before, but he does not sound like what I thought he does. Every single time.
Yeah, everybody gets that Kermit sounding looking dude. Like, we had the Super Bowl party at my place last year. And when somebody, I don't remember, I think it was Dalton's girlfriend, said that he was hot. And then as soon as he talked, she was like, oh, nope, never mind.
Because she said that, and then my exact words is, wait for him to talk. Because also, it wasn't last year. It's just COVID has messed us up so much. That was only like 3 months ago.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's right. Well, it was the last Super Bowl, which was in January. Or February.
Ooh. February. So, yeah, only a couple of months ago.
Yep, a couple months ago. Because we were talking about the comparison between Mahomes and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Because one's a guy... Yeah, one's a god and sounds like a god, and one is very attractive and sounds like Kermit the Frog.
So anyway, we got the Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2. sequel to a game that was released in the early 2000s. It looks super great. Creepy.
Yeah, it's between American Horror Story and now that we're actually like watching it together, I have switched to Criminal Minds to put on in the background of my when I work from home because I don't actually have to pay attention to it. It gives me like real strong like serial killer vibes, which I'm cool with. I just hope the game is good.
Yep. Yeah, we'll have to, I guess, wait and see on that one. Because that was that the one that opened with the guy dancing around the tree?
And all the people were propped up, yeah.
Yeah, that was creepy looking, for sure. So, this it looks interesting enough. The next one we got was Call of the Sea. That one, it's a mystery game. It looks more, like, narrative related. I don't know a whole lot about it. Oh, Vampire the Masquerade is smart delivery as well, which means it's the backwards compatible stuff. The game that probably has me the most excited coming out of this is the next one here, The Ascent. Did you guys see this?
Mm-hmm.
This is super cool. It's cyberpunk, future dystopia, Diablo is what it looks like. It's the top-down isometric view, lots of really cool-looking environments, character customization apparently, and it will be smart delivery. So this I'm actually pretty excited about. This looked super neat.
Do you know who's making it?
It is... No, I don't.
Let me see if I can...
You can find that. I'll move on to the next one here. Oh, Neon Giant. Found it. It's their first game.
Okay.
So, yeah, we don't have a history from those guys yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the next one, this is another Series X exclusive. Should be a launch title as well. This one looks super creepy. The Medium.
This one was kind of wild.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. We didn't get a whole lot of information about it other than that it does look super creepy. It's got the original composer from the Silent Hill series helping out with it. So the music is going to be creepy too. I'm interested to see where this is going to go. Then we got Scarlet Nexus, which is an even more anime-looking Devil May Cry. That's the best I can put it on. It will be smart delivery. Then we got Second Extinction, Reclaim Earth. This one also looked kind of neat.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not going to lie. This the Bright Memory Infinite is the one that I thought looked the best out of this, aside from Assassin's Creed. But, like... this looks like fun. Like, if I could get people to play this with, like, that could be a lot of fun. Like, that could just, you know, that could be Predator, except I wouldn't have to play it on my PlayStation with not offset sticks.
There you go. So, yeah, definitely, because dinosaurs all over the place, like, first-person shooter, definitely looks fun. It will be multiplayer. And will also be smart delivery. I'm really happy about all the smart delivery stuff. Because it means I can buy stuff on my Xbox One, and then when I get my Series X, I'll have that version of the game. I'm super happy about that. Then we got Yakuza Like a Dragon. Never been real big into the Yakuza games. This one looks even more ridiculous than the stuff I've seen. So, I know at least one person, good old Pat Kennedy, is going to be real excited about this one. Might actually get him to get an Xbox. Though I don't think it's an Xbox exclusive, but it does have smart delivery.
Yeah, we honestly don't know if any of these games are exclusives or not.
Yeah. Well, except for we know The Medium and Scorn are both exclusives.
Okay.
But other than that, yeah, we don't know if they're exclusive to... because a lot of them aren't necessarily... they might be exclusive to Xbox, but as in they're exclusive to Xbox One and Series X.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, we don't know that for sure. Except
if they're
going
to be only on Xbox or if you could get them on PS5.
Right. The Medium and Scorn, though, for sure, are Xbox Series X exclusive titles.
Because I would be super surprised if they made a Yakuza game that was Xbox exclusive.
No, apparently... oh, wow. Apparently this game has been out in... it will come out in January on PlayStation 5.
Okay.
So it will be a delayed release. It'll hit Xbox first, but... yeah. Anyway. So yeah. And then we got the Assassin's Creed Valhalla stuff, which, like we had said before, was supposed to be gameplay, but instead it was in-game cinematics. So it was rendered with the in-game engine, but it was definitely not somebody playing the game. And it will be smart delivery as well, which we had mentioned before. All right, and then I know we're running a little bit long, but Asa, go ahead and hit him with that Mortal Kombat Minute, because we got some...
Honestly, the biggest news of the week, by far, because we got a teaser of just, like, the ending of Mortal Kombat 11, which ends with Liu Kang, Fire God Liu Kang, defeating Kronika. And they're like, okay, well, everything's screwed right now, so we need to get to work on fixing it. And as he's about to start, we hear a voice, which is Shang Tsung, talk about, like, he's like, eh, nope, don't do that. And then you see a portal with three figures walking through, and it looks, and like, I assumed it was just going to be Shang Tsung, Nightwolf, and Sindel, who were the characters from the combat pack that were not guests. And what we ended up getting, because I watched this, and as the more I watched it, the more my mouth just kind of opened, is we are getting a full 3-chapter story expansion. Oh, no, not 3 characters. It's 3 characters. We're getting a full story expansion, which NetherRealm has never done for any game. Any DLC has always just been characters who've gotten their own, you know, story tower endings, but nothing, like, super... nothing canonical, really. So we're getting a story expansion that sees Shang Tsung, who has been hiding away while the events of 11 are happening, being sent to steal Kronika's crown, which was destroyed. And they have to have the crown to be able to restart the timeline after Kronika pretty much destroyed it. It doesn't make a lot of sense because time travel is stupid and annoying, but it should say something for how excited I am about this, even though it's a time travel story. The big thing that got me real good, because it's like, okay, cool, new story stuff, that's neat. We're getting 3 new characters, all playable on May 26th. This isn't, you know, Spawn just came out like a month or two ago, and it was almost a year to the day that 11 released for those 6 characters, and now we're just getting 3 all together. We're getting Fujin, we're getting Shiva, which I think is super cool, and we're also getting RoboCop, which has been pretty divisive among the Mortal Kombat community. I'm not super thrilled with it. I knew, we're going to get a guest character. Those are just, you just kind of have to take that for what it is, because there's always going to be guest characters in Mortal, and this is NetherRealm games now. But RoboCop, like, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to, like, Terminator is okay as a character, but I don't see the differences. Like, I just really need to see how he plays and how he's going to be any different than the Terminator, who is a slow shoot stuff robot.
Yeah, I'm really curious how he's going to work out. I actually do like the idea of, you know, being able to do RoboCop versus Terminator. That sounds fun to me.
Epic Rap Battles of History predicted it again.
going all the way back to the Super Nintendo / Sega Genesis.
So we're getting those. Also, the story expansion, the characters, everything is coming out on the 26th. Aside from, we're getting 3 new character skin packs. Those are going to be released kind of staggered, including if you pre-order it, you get the... I don't remember what it's called, but you're essentially getting the skin packs from... I think it's Deception? Mortal Kombat Deception, where it's Shredder, Sub-Zero. You get him, Scorpion, and Frost gear, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
You get the skin packs, but we're also getting... And those are the paid... that's the paid content, is the story, the characters, and the skin packs. There's also coming with this a free update, which is colossal. We're getting new stages, including they're bringing back the Deadpool, they're bringing back the Soul Chamber, they're bringing some other stuff back. They're bringing back stage fatalities, which is awesome. We got to see the Deadpool one in the trailer there. And to me, the coolest thing is that we're getting friendships.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
We've seen a handful of them already. Scorpion doing the get over here to the giant teddy bear, Sub-Zero's ice cream cart, Kano grilling, Noob Saibot doing the jump rope with himself. Just, they're goofy, they're dumb, I love them.
I'm a big fan. Yeah, I'm a big fan of those fatalities.
The problem with it for me is the price point is kind of BS. You can either pay $60 to get Mortal Kombat 11 Aftermath, which is the base game, the first combat pack in its entirety, and all of the new content. If you already own just the base game, you can pay $50 to get the combat pack and Aftermath. So Joker, Terminator, Sindel, all of those, the original characters. Or if you're like me, who already spent your $90 on the premium edition, you have to pay $40 to get the story stuff and the characters.
Oh, that's pretty gross.
It's not a lot of characters. It's not a lot of story. The original game wasn't a lot of story. Like, it had a great story mode, and I enjoyed the story. It just didn't take me that long to get through. So, I feel a little bit ripped off, but I'm also part of the problem because I went ahead and just said, screw it. I dropped the extra $20, and now I just have a digital copy. Because, like, that's worth, instead of having to, like, switch through discs. Because I have the physical copy, I have the premium edition, but I got it on disc, so I was like, you know what, screw it, I'll just pay the extra 20, and now I have everything without having the physical disc.
Yeah, now you don't have to deal with putting a disc in and out because all that content transfers over just fine.
Yep, and like, so you can, if you, as far as, because like, it's letting me play it, the base game without the disc in, so I think if you pre-order the Aftermath stuff and you don't have the, like, if you're just going to drop the $60 because you've waited to get into Mortal Kombat 11, you can play the base stuff, and I think including the combat pack characters, you can play that now. It's just the new characters and the new story won't be out until the 26th.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Which is a lot sooner than I was expecting. There's also, like, leaks that this seems to have confirmed that we are still getting other characters. Be interesting to see if they are included in the Aftermath order or if that's going to be an additional charge, but
guaranteed additional charge.
Because it's the way that this was all released and stuff, a lot of people are like, no, look, it's not Midway, the WB of just like, hey, this is them putting these prices and putting these schedules out, because clearly NetherRealm wants to be, you know, they are very protective of Mortal Kombat. And they want to do it as best they can. They just have certain guidelines they have to work under, or dates, or things like that.
Right, right.
But it's super cool. I'm very excited about it. It's gotten me back into Mortal Kombat 11. I forgot how much I love to play as Jax. I'm not very good with him, but he's a ridiculous amount of fun. And it's also got me playing, like, I didn't play a whole lot with Shang Tsung, but I'm using him a lot more since he seems to be more... he's kind of the focus of this DLC, including the amazing line, "I find your lack of faith amusing." Just little cool stuff. It's Cory Takagawa too, so I'm super on board. This is super cool. RoboCop, whatever. I'm not, you know, one of these entitled morons that are saying, I'm gonna uninstall the game, I'm not buying this, I hate RoboCop. Like, shut up. You're not.
You're gonna get it and you're gonna like it.
Right. He could end up being super cool. Like, Terminator's not that fun to play with, I don't think. Maybe it's just, I don't know, I'm not using him correctly. I really hope that there's a clear difference, because on paper, RoboCop and Terminator are very, very similar. Yeah. And RoboCop just as a character, like, which it's super cool. They got Peter Weller, I think is his name. The original actor for RoboCop is voicing the character.
Yes, which Shannon actually told the super fun story with
Peter Sellers.
Well, no,
Peter Sellers. Yeah,
Peter Sellers. Yeah, but that was it was just really funny that. That story was funny, but the story about just saying, like, I wish they would have gotten the original voice actor. This guy sounds like crap. And it's like, oh, they did. It is.
Yeah. The next, cause we talked about it a little bit on Facebook, like Messenger, when it came out. Cause he's like, yeah, just the voice sounds off. It seems kind of high pitched. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. Cause I've seen RoboCop. It's just been forever. Yeah. So, and then I saw that news, so I sent him a message the next morning when I could, and I was just like, oh, hey, by the way, turns out that's actually RoboCop. He's like, oh, well, I feel like a dick.
Do you know what he voiced recently that's really awesome?
No.
He was the voice actor for Batman in the Batman Dark Knight Returns animated movies.
Oh, that's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, same dude, and that's why I'm like, Peter Weller will do no wrong to me. I'm happy he's in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah, that's really cool. Yeah,
for sure.
So, But that's on the 26th. I hope they do a... I really hope we... They haven't announced anything yet, I don't think, but it would be cool if they did another, like, live stream. I don't remember what they're called.
Isn't it, like, Fightcast or whatever?
Combatcast, yeah.
Damn, I was close.
I hope they do another one of those to kind of break down the new characters and their abilities, because those are always fun to watch. And Derek and Stephanie and Tyler are just good personalities to have on there, too. But
right, right. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us, because it's now been a real long show.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's the first Nerd Up back. It can run a little long. That's fine. Hopefully, it won't be the last one for a little while. Hopefully, we'll be able to do another couple. But at any rate, thank you so much, guys, for listening. Thank you, Asa and Dalton, for jumping on with me. See you next time.